To you all who are gathered here this morning to worship God, it's good to be with you again. And I know there may be some in the church as well, and perhaps even in the car park. And our prayer is that God will bless us as we worship him and as we hear his word this morning. David has asked just to give the necessary announcements this morning. God willing, I'll be here this evening to lead worship and to unite in worship with you at 7:30. Reverend David is on holiday for a few days, and he'll be back in harness, as it were, on Thursday. Wednesday, the 28th, there will be the midweek prayer meeting in the church hall here at 8 p.m. And then the services next Lord's Day, the 1st of November, Sabbath school classes at 11, worship services at 12, and evening worship at 7:30. For the elders, please note that the session will meet on Tuesday, the 3rd, at 8 p.m. in the church hall. A couple of other notes then. Wednesday, the 4th, Northern Presbytery meeting at 7:30 in the Holmes Memorial Hall in Ballymoney. And then just in our general denominational news, some of you may have heard, but many of you may not have heard, that Lisburn Reformed Presbyterian Church has made out a call to Reverend Robert McCollum, that would be Junior, of course, of Newton Ards Reformed Presbyterian Church. So please pray for him and his family, and also Lisburn as they consider, and Newton Ards as well, as all alike consider this call. Well, as we come to worship this morning, let's stand first of all and come to God in prayer concerning our worship this morning. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, we do again thank you most sincerely that we can come together here this morning and worship you as you have called us to do and of you as you have instructed us to do. We realize that yet again there are extraordinary aspects to our worship, but yet we still count it a privilege, as Christians throughout all the generations have done, when even in difficult circumstances and challenging circumstances, they have been able to join together with their brothers and sisters in the Lord to praise your name and to receive instruction from your word and to read your word together and to encourage one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We do thank you not only for the opportunity to be here, but we thank you for the health and strength for those of us who have been able to come here this morning, that we can come. Too easily we take such things for granted. Too easily we just presume that we will be able to get up in the morning and go about our business the rest of the week. And even on the Sabbath day, too frequently we go to bed and we just assume that we will come here again. And so this morning, before anything else we do, we acknowledge your grace and your mercy and your goodness to us in bringing us together. We come and we praise your name. You are the one and only living God, the true and living God, the sovereign of the universe, the creator of all things, and the one through whom all things exist. And you are the one who rules that universe. Everything that happens has happened according to your sovereign will. We are in awe of your power. To think that not a little sparrow falls on the ground and you do not know. And that across the whole of this world. And that across the whole of the universe, all the stars and the planets move according to your plan and your purposes. Lord, you know the number of hairs on our heads. We thank you and praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But Lord, we thank you most of all as your people, not just for your creative power, not just for your sustaining power, but for your recreative power. For many of us, we trust even the majority of us, if not all of us, we have been born again of the Spirit. We have been regenerated. We have been made new creatures, not because we deserved it, but according to your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. For he humbled himself to come to this world, to live among us, even to submit himself to his parents and other earthly leaders, and ultimately to be humbled on the cross, to die that he might provide atonement and forgiveness for sinners such as us. We are humbled by this, Lord, because we were your enemies, but herein is love, that you gave your Son, not for your friends, not for those who added in any way to you, but those who were enemies. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive us when we take even this ultimate privilege for granted. And we pray that you might even instruct us this morning in how valuable it is. We do ask, Lord, that you will bless our worship this morning. We pray that you will bless each one of us according to our needs, that you will come and sow the good seed of the word in our hearts and encourage us and perhaps challenge us, but above all else, remind us of the grace that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for any of those associated with this congregation who are not able to be here this morning. We pray that you would be gracious to them as well. And as we offer up these prayers, we are confident that in the name of Jesus Christ, you will do all things well, that you will glorify yourself, that you will do good to your people, that you will draw in the elect, that you will save, and that you will be praised for all eternity for your work. We pray, Lord, you will bless the means of grace to us this morning as we read your word shortly, even as we pray now, as we preach and as we hear your word preached, and as we praise your name in the psalm at the close of our service. We ask, Lord, that you might bless all these things with the working of your Spirit amongst us and in each one of us. Hear our prayers, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read two portions of Scripture with you this morning. The first one in Matthew chapter 13 is short, and that is our text this morning. But I want us just to also read from Romans 1 as well, just some core information about what the gospel is, and especially of how it, and it uniquely, is the power of God unto salvation. But our text this morning is going to be found in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read just a few verses together from Matthew 13. We're going to read from verse 31 down to verse 35, and then we'll turn over and read some verses from Romans 8. So let us hear God's word this morning. Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable he, that is, Jesus, put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." And then over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 8 down to verse 17. And as we're reading this section, just think about how Paul describes the gospel and its power and how valuable it is. He describes it as a spiritual gift. So let's read again. Romans 1, verse 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you, who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And this is God's holy and infallible word. Well, I want us to think about one of the shortest parables that Jesus spoke and preached, as we have a record of the parables in Scripture. And I want us to look at the parable of the leaven, as we find it there in verse 33. So our text really is just verse 33. Another parable Jesus spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. A few years ago, I kept a vegetable plot in the back garden. I had various great successes and probably more disappointments. And one of the disappointments and discouragements in my vegetable gardening career, which has come to an end for the last few years, at least temporarily, was when I decided that I would try and grow broccoli. Quite fond of broccoli in our house, so we thought that would be great. It would be lovely to go out and snip a head or two off and have it fresh from the garden. But it was a disaster. Maybe a disaster's too strong, but it was near a disaster. I tried it for a few years, but every time I tried it, the little heads were very small, and every year the white butterflies came along and laid their eggs, and soon the plants were crawling with caterpillars, and, well, that made history of any chance of a broccoli crop. And so I gave up. I gave up because I was discouraged. What was the point in putting all the effort in to grow broccoli when it seemed, on the basis of evidence, that nothing was ever going to come from it? Who wants to work hard and not get a harvest? Maybe that's close to home for some of you who are farmers. Maybe you've had years, I'm not sure how this year has been, but years when your barley crop, the yield has been poor, and you've put in all the same work as you have other years. We get discouraged. We get down when things don't turn out the way we would have loved, the way we would have expected, especially given the work that we have put into it. I wonder if you ever thought about that in connection with the work of spreading the gospel, or even the work of praying for the lost, the various ministries that the church is involved in here. Do you ever get discouraged with church work? Do you ever get discouraged in kingdom work, in gospel work? Because even though the effort is being put in, there seems to be so little fruit from your labors. That can discourage us, I think, in the church. Opposition, of course, can discourage us. If we take the gospel out into the streets, as is happening in some places in the world, and we get things thrown at us, or we get stoned, as Paul did a number of times, that would very much discourage us in the work. But that doesn't happen to most of us. We're more likely to be discouraged of being involved in the ministries of the church, or staying involved in the ministries of the church, because we don't see much fruit from it. We pray for people, and yet they seem unchanged. They're still uninterested in the gospel. We hold special outreach events in the church, sometimes outside the church, and, well, many people can take invitations from us, but very few take up the invitation by way of coming to the events. We devote time and effort to preparing for Sabbath school or CY, and, well, the kids seem to enjoy it, and they're fairly good at learning their verses and their catechism and so forth, but we sometimes wonder, is it having any lasting effect? We pray for a son or daughter or a parent or a brother or sister, and we've been doing it for years, and they still haven't come to faith. We speak to a work colleague fairly regularly, but still they show no interest in the gospel. It's discouraging. To put it in Paul's words in Galatians 6, verse 9, we get weary in doing good. Well, that, I believe, is where the kingdom parables come in, some of which we read just now. And the one I want us to look at this morning is this parable of the leaven, because surely Jesus has given us this parable to encourage us as we put in the effort of prayer and work and yet sometimes don't seem to see much fruit from it. Jesus wants us to keep working, to keep spreading the gospel, to keep sowing the seeds, to keep praying, and not become weary. And I want us to look at this parable under three fairly straightforward headings that I hope will encourage you and stimulate you to keep praying and keep working. And the first heading is this. This little parable teaches us that the gospel works through small efforts and small acts by small and unimportant people. The gospel works through the small efforts and the small acts of small and unimportant people. And I hope I don't offend you by saying the unimportant people are you and me. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like leaven. Now, I'm no expert, but leaven takes us into the field of baking. And I know for sure there's at least one or two people that like to make bread in the room here, and maybe there's a good few more. Leaven is just an old word for what we would call yeast. In actual fact, it's probably more like what we would call a sourdough starter. Now, man, if you don't know what a sourdough starter is, don't worry. It's just something that you use to grow yeast. And you put some into the bread, and that's how the bread rises and so forth. But the point of a yeast is, it's tiny. It's absolutely tiny. You can't see it. Some of you may work with what's called dried yeast, and it's little, tiny, tiny, little, what would you call them? Just little spheres, little round things that you can barely see, and you take maybe half a teaspoonful of it, and you put it into a big bowl of flour, and you mix it together, and you leave it for a while, and it rises. The sourdough starter, of course, is full of microscopic yeasts. You can't see them at all. And you put them into the flour, and you mix it with the water and whatever else you want to put in, and, well, it all adds up to a loaf at the end of the day. It's a very homely little illustration that Jesus gives here. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast or the leaven, the sourdough starter that you put into a loaf. The point he's making, or one of the points he's making, there's three points he's making, but the point he's making is that you cannot have a loaf without yeast. You cannot have a loaf without leaven. You can't have a nice loaf without the sourdough starter, even though the bacteria and the yeast is invisible. You can't see it, but without it, you don't have a loaf. And this point is actually exaggerated in the parable. He says in the parable that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal or flour till it was all leavened. And the experts in ancient measurements tell us that was about 40 liters of flour. In other words, you could have made enough bread for 40 people with this measurement of flour that's mentioned in the parable. And yet, 40 liters, 100 loaves or whatever, is made with just a little bit of leaven. Jesus' point is, very little can produce sizable, valuable results. And so it is with kingdom work. So it is with gospel work. It moves forward. It succeeds not with big dramatic things done by big dramatic people and famous people, but it moves forward. The kingdom of Christ extends. The kingdom of heaven gets bigger and develops when small and unimportant people like you and me do relatively small and unimportant things, at least as the world judges them. And that's the first thing that Jesus is teaching us from this little parable. And this is surely a great encouragement to us as we do our little bit of work in the church. It encourages us as the church of Christ in a very wicked world. It encourages us to keep working. Though our contribution appears to be small, keep spreading. Even though we are few, even though what we do seems insignificant, keep doing it. Because those little bits of work, those little prayers offered up are vital, as vital in the kingdom of Christ and heaven as the yeast is in making a loaf. None of us are important people, not as the world judges it. We're not celebrities. We're not politicians. Don't think any of us are millionaires. We don't have influence. And we're outnumbered, aren't we? Even in Northern Ireland, we're outnumbered now. Our churches are small. Our outreach efforts are small. What can we actually accomplish? That's the temptation. To think that because we're small, because we're unimportant, because we're outnumbered, what can we do? We appear to be outgunned as well. I mean, all we've got's the Bible. And sermons, and psalm choruses for the children, and psalms, and things like that. There, well, look at what we're up against. The media. The media has got wall-to-wall news channels to promote its perspective. It's got cinema screens. It's got famous and attractive musicians. It seems more and more, government, media, politicians, everyone's against the spread of the gospel. What can we accomplish? Well, Jesus is teaching us we can't accomplish much. Don't be discouraged by being outgunned and outnumbered and being unimportant and small. Don't be encouraged by that. God is not small or unimportant. And is never outgunned. And God's will is that the kingdom grows through the efforts of small people like you and me. God can accomplish great things through small efforts. That's what the kingdom of Jesus is like. That's what we learned from the earlier parable as well. That's why I read it, the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Small to great. So don't be discouraged that the Church of Christ can make little impact on the world. It can. That's the way it works. But there's an encouragement to us here as individuals as well. Don't be discouraged if your efforts specifically seem insignificant and rather useless. If you think that your input seems hardly worthwhile, Don't be discouraged. Maybe you just do crafts at CY, you think to yourself. Maybe you just make the tea at the seniors' meeting. Maybe you just take the kettles round or the teapots round when there's an outreach and we're having refreshments. Doesn't seem like much. But every cog in a gearbox, no matter how small, is important. Every part of the body, as Paul speaks about in the book of Romans, has its function. You don't say to the fingernail, if you're an eye, you're not important. The fingernail has a purpose too. Everything has a purpose. And your contribution, small and all as it may be, unimportant as it may seem, is vital. Think about all that flour mixed together, 40 liters of it, and you just throw in a wee bit, a handful of leaven. But it makes enough bread for 100 people. As a church, the odds of this church changing Ballymoney or Kilrats or Stranooken seem very unlikely. But if God should bless your small efforts, it could happen. It really could. With God's blessing, this church could make a massive impact. But God's will is that if he's going to make a massive impact, he'll do it through people like you, doing what you can, doing what God has gifted you to do, praying regularly for the work. So, that's the first point that Jesus is driving home with this parable. The gospel works through small efforts by small and small acts by small and unimportant people. Secondly, the gospel very often works progressively with little outward evidence or glory. The gospel very often works progressively with little outward evidence or glory. There's the old proverbial saying, it's as boring or as dull as watching paint dry. Well, the second most boring and dull thing is watching a loaf rise. You put in this invisible amount of yeast, you mix it into a big bowl of dough, and if you're an extremely patient sort of person, you can sit there and watch it rise. But you'll not see it rising. It's one of those things that takes place gradually. It's like when your children grow, you don't see your children growing, but you see other people's children growing. If you haven't seen them for 6 months, they've changed. So it is with the yeast. It goes in there, and it spreads around, and it makes the loaf rise ever so slowly, ever so gradually. You put it away in the hot press, and you come back in 3 hours, and there it is. It's doubled. But there were no fireworks while it was doubling in size. There was no noise and no trumpets playing. It just got on with its thing. That's like gospel work as well. Very often, sometimes it makes a massive impact and everybody's talking about it. That happened back in the 1859 revival. Villages and towns and townlands were radically changed. People in hundreds weeping under conviction of sin, but it's not normally like that. A lot of the time, Christ grows his church gradually, progressively, with just the ones and the twos, here and there. But the thing is, even though you can't see the yeast working, it is working, and it will work. And that's like our gospel endeavors as well. When we sow the good seed of the gospel to change the picture, it will sprout. Not dramatically. You put the seed into the soil, you don't come back the next morning. It's not like Jack and the Beanstalk and there it is. No. It grows gradually, progressively, not dramatically. The work we do in the ministries of the church, the conversations we have with people, the sermons we preach, the talks we give, The Sabbath school lessons we prepare and deliver Sabbath day after Sabbath day. The prayers we pray, they don't seem to accomplish much. They don't seem to have any effect a lot of the time. But they're accomplishing exactly what God intends for them. The gospel is like yeast working slowly and visibly. And surely that's a second encouragement to us. It may seem that our efforts are accomplishing little, when in fact they are accomplishing. And accomplishing much, slowly, imperceptibly. You can't see it happening. Slowly but surely. Some of you will have seen this yourselves. Covenant children who, as it were, gradually grew up to be stalwart, faithful Christians and church members. People who you've come into contact with, and maybe it took years for them to finally put their faith in Christ. Maybe you're such a person yourself. Didn't seem like anything was happening, but under the surface, God was working. God's grace was working, just like the leaven. If you're a Sabbath school teacher, keep teaching. Keep praying week in, week out. Keep working year in and year out. God is doing something. It might look as if he's not, but he is. CY leaders, keep plugging away. God is doing something. Elders and deacons, keep serving this church and this community. Things may be the same nearly every week, and it looks as if nothing's happening, but it is. If you're involved in outreach, giving out tracts or whatever, keep doing it. Parents and grandparents, keep talking to your children and your grandchildren. Those of you who have a friend or friends that you witness to at work, keep doing it. It doesn't appear that anything's happening, but God is accomplishing that which he will accomplish. Just think of how we got to be here in Clarats this morning. 2,000 years ago, there was no church in Clarats. 2,000 odd years ago, there was only 12 men and Jesus. And then it spread. And then it spread more. Spread all around Palestine. And then it went into Asia Minor. And then it went into Europe. And finally, not finally, it got to Clarats over in County Antrim. There were no big announcements. There were no, it's not written in the history books about how the church burst into Ireland. But it came all the same. Be encouraged. Keep up the work, even when there's no drama, no apparent success. Keep working at it. The gospel works through the small efforts and small acts by small and unimportant people. Secondly, the gospel very often, mostly, works progressively with little outward evidence or glory. But thirdly and finally, and this is the greatest encouragement of all, and it's connected with all the other two, the gospel works inevitably towards a glorious success. The gospel works inevitably towards a glorious success. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. There's the result of her work. It was all leavened. And when she put it into the oven, left it for 40 minutes or whatever, brought it out, bread. Unless there was something wrong with the leaven, it was going to work. Couldn't do anything else but work. And that's the great encouragement about us being involved in gospel work. Our leaven is tiny, but it works. Our leaven Our yeast is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is, as we read in Romans, the power of God unto salvation. It cannot fail to do what God has sent it to accomplish. It's working imperceptibly and invisibly, but it's working towards a great and glorious end. The yeast can't fail to accomplish its desired effect. The gospel can't fail when we spread it to the best of our ability and praying that God would bless it. What an encouragement that is. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Can anything resist God's power? Can anything make God's plans stumble and fail? Absolutely not. Can anything hinder the gospel from taking root in a sinner's heart if God's will is that it produces the fruit of salvation? Nothing can hinder that. As we labor and as we witness, we may not see everyone saved that we would love to see saved. But God will most definitely save those who believe the message that we take out. He will save those whom he wills. In Isaiah 55 and verse 10, we read these verses. You'll know them very well. The prophet describes how the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return there, but they water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then here's what he says. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. There's no ifs or buts with God. When he sends his word out through our efforts, and he chooses to send his spirit out with that word, and when he chooses to change the heart of someone whom we give that word of gospel to, it cannot fail. It cannot fail. We must speak the gospel. We must pray for fruit. And when we do both those things faithfully, we can be absolutely assured and confident that our efforts will not be in vain. Referred earlier on to Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good. And then Paul follows it up with this encouragement, for in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. The gospel is often compared to a harvest, but sometimes our harvests fail. This harvest never fails. We will reap if we do not give up. Friends, and fellow laborers in the cause of the gospel, don't become weary in the good work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your work and your efforts may well be small and relatively insignificant, just like yeast. But the gospel, and in God's design, this is the way it is. The gospel works through such efforts as that. Just people like us. Just ordinary people like you and me. That's how God adds people to the Lamb's Book of Life. Your work may seem to produce little outward fruit. It doesn't seem to make much difference, but like yeast, it is slowly and invisibly sometimes working away in the background. The gospel very often works progressively with little outward evidence or glory. But thirdly, remember, the gospel works inevitably towards a glorious success, because after all, it is the power of God unto salvation. It cannot fail. God has sent it out. He uses us to send it out. and he will bless our work when we do it faithfully, when we pray. So be encouraged. We often speak about our day as the day of small things. Maybe the day of small things, but it's still the day in which God is saving sinners. Don't lose heart. Don't get weary of doing the good work of spreading the gospel. May God encourage us in that work this morning. Amen. Well, let's conclude our service by praying for God's blessing, essentially, upon our work. We're going to sing Psalm 67, and it's version A. Psalm 67, version A, and the tune is 193 Dennis. Psalm 67, A, tune 193 Dennis. And this is a psalm that is a prayer that God would bless and pity us. We always need to pray that prayer. When we go out with the seed of the gospel, go out always praying that God would bless us. But the context of the rest of the psalm seems to make it a prayer that God would bless us and shine us, his face upon us, as we take the gospel to the nations, as we fulfill the Great Commission. Unless this psalm is a prayer that God would bless our efforts and encourage us to keep going out in his strength and with his grace, with this unique message that no one else has, the saving power of Jesus Christ. So let's stand and sing together Psalm 67, A, just sitting down, sorry, just remain sitting, Psalm 67, A, and tune 193, Dennis. Let us praise God.
God bless and pity us, shine on us with your face. The earth and nature's all your way and saving grace. Let people praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise. Oh, let the nations all be glad and sing their voices raise. You justly peoples judge, on earth guide nations all. May all the peoples praise you, God, praise you, both great and small. The earth her fruit will yield, our God will blessing send. God will us bless, let all him fear, death's remotest end.
Let's pray together. Lord and Father, we do thank you that the progress of the gospel does not depend upon our cleverness or our fame or the strength of our powers and abilities, but rather upon your blessing as we take it out in our simple and relatively insignificant way. We pray, Lord, as this congregation does that faithfully, at least when they're able to in normal circumstances, we pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to bless. we would be delighted to hear of a great movement of your gospel, one that is spoken about in the newspapers and in the news reports. But we will likewise be just as glad to hear of the ones and the twos from our community being born again, being introduced to Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray for those who involve themselves in the work of the church here. We pray that you will encourage them, that you will encourage them to keep pressing on, to keep doing what they can, using the gifts that you have given them, being confident that you are accomplishing that for which you have sent your word through their hands and through their efforts. Above all, Lord, we can be confident of this, that you will be glorified when we do our part, praying unto you for the blessing. So bless us, we pray, as we work out this little parable in our life and on our days. Glorify yourself, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.